We're going to now begin our post-race press conference for today's Food City 500. We're joined by the race-winning crew chief, Chris Gabehart, and the team owner, Joe Gibbs, of the number 11 Express Oil Change Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Chris, we'll start with you. And we just talked about it in here. Record number of lead changes here, 54 today, with 16 different leaders. How exciting was it for you, or nerve-wracking was it for you on top of the box?
It was fantastic. The whole weekend was nothing what any of us expected. The driver, the crew chiefs, the engineers, the pit crew, the team, the spotter. I mean, from the minute practice was over, we suspected something was going to be different. And I think a lot of us thought maybe 80 or 100 in, this place would kind of rubber in and get a little more familiar. But it did not, and it was a blast. And I'm not just saying that because we won. I'm saying that because it was fun to have to do something so unrefined. Everything about our business gets to be 16th of a round and 10th of an air pressure. And, boy, you know, Denny, if you just maneuver this 3 inches, you'll be perfect. There was not going to be perfect this weekend ever, and I thought that made for a fantastic show.
Coach, two wins in a row now for Joe Gibbs Racing. You guys are on a roll. Talk about the win today.
Yeah, we got off to, I felt like, a little bit of a slow start for sure. Last week at Phoenix, couldn't have gone better. And then to come here, we love coming to Bristol. And, you know, it was just one of those days I was really proud from a standpoint of all of our cars. I think that's the encouraging thing, is all four of them at different times, obviously very fast. And it's a big deal for us. And when you got a sponsor like Mavis, it's a big deal for us. As you guys know, our sport's different. You got to have a great sponsor. And they're really not a sponsor. They're a partner in our racing. And so it's a huge deal for us to get that win. I was calling all of the executives from the winner's circle. Huge deal for us. Just really appreciate our guys and everybody, how hard they work. Chris did a great job with Denny. Denny, last two times coming here has really been special.
We're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start with Bob, and then we'll go to Jordan.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. For Chris, why do you think there were issues today and not in September when – it was the same tire? And B, if they bring this same tire back in September, is it okay to have 11 sets, or do you feel like you need more?
Well, I mean, again, everyone in this garage area, whether it's the teams or NASCAR or Goodyear, are so good at what they do that it's rare that you have surprises anymore. Everything's typically so well thought out and calculated, and this weekend, for whatever reason, we just missed. Now, we've seen this before. We've seen cold Martinsville races not rubber up. We've seen Dover last year in practice, concrete track, didn't rubber up. And yesterday, all of a sudden, didn't rubber up. You know, there was a small change with the traction compound that got laid on the bottom. And whether that contributed or not, who knows. But my guess is we will bring something different back. But I really think we have to learn from this. I mean, you've been hearing the drivers and the teams ask for, you know, challenges effectively. And, you know, it was a challenge today. So me personally, I hats off to Goodyear. I mean, you know, I don't want them to get any heat for this. I think Goodyear makes million mile tires on the road. I don't think they should make million mile tires on the racetrack. I want them to have to make these drivers make decisions, make these crew chiefs make decisions. And if they blow out, that's on the crew chief and that's on the team. I think that should be, you know, part of our sport to a certain degree. And force the world's best to make decisions. And I think you saw a lot of that today.
Go next to Jordan, then to Jacob, and then to Dustin.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This is for Chris. What's it like managing a race like this atop the pit box?
Yeah, I just asked Coach on the way over. It's such a rare thing to have a two-time Hall of Famer in two different sports as your boss, right? So I all the time rib him about things in the NFL and things he's experienced, and I asked him if he's ever had to call an entire game where, you know, inside the first quarter he realizes the entire playbook, the whole week's plan, you basically got to throw it out the window because it's going so far off script it's not going to apply anymore. And that was the whole weekend. Yes, it's still Bristol, and you still got to think about, you know, certain aspects of the track and how to tune your car to that. But no one planned for the track to be this different. So it's very little about simulation, and it's in a lot of ways it goes back to late model racing, because it's so unrefined that you got to start kind of thinking through it creatively, because, you know, your simulation tools weren't planning on this. And that makes it a lot of fun.
We are now joined by our race winner, Denny Hamlin. Picked up his fourth win here at Bristol Motor Speedway. And how challenging was it out there for you today?
Yeah, it was challenging, but it was a different kind of challenge for sure. Certainly something that we've not had to do for a very long time in managing tires. So, you know, lesson learned early on, I kind of ran, you know, certain pace, ran a certain line, wore my tires out, and then from that point on made some adjustments internally, and he made some adjustments to the car that allowed me to just manage it from that point on. So once it got into that tire management type of race, certainly my history in late models where you had to do that big time, it certainly paid off.
Yeah, we'll keep it here to Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Ask you both, was this something you'd like to see on a regular basis on a, you know, every short track race?
I mean, it's certainly most of the answers you're going to get from me today, it's going to be from a biased standpoint, right? We won the race. There's probably a handful that hated what happened. But I think if you change nothing, right, if you change absolutely nothing with the tire, nothing with the resin, and we came back next week, many teams would make big adjustments with their cars to help with tire wear, and drivers would make adjustments. So it would automatically get better no matter what. Do we want them wearing out in 40, 50 laps? No. That's probably a little bit on the low end for sure. But certainly this is what happens when you get tire wear. It is comers and goers, and I guarantee you, surely you guys at NASCAR have sent out a stat pack of all the passes that happened today. So,
yeah,
it has to be. But, I mean, there was just, you know, there was times where I was leading, and Ty's just pressure me, and I'm like, no, it's not time. It's go ahead. And that's how it used to be. It really used to be that way. So it was fun from my standpoint because, obviously, I had a good car that helped me, you know, do what I needed to do.
Yeah. My answer to that is the same one I kind of alluded to earlier. And, honestly, while it's hard on us, yes, it's supposed to be hard. You're supposed to see these guys struggle. You're supposed to see the 25th place car look like a mess and the team's trying to figure out how to rebound and rally and help him understand where this run, you know, management didn't work or the leader's running too hard this run and tell your driver, hey, you weren't in the lead this time, but this happened, and let him adjust inside. It's supposed to be hard. This is not supposed to look easy. So I think this is what you see when you make it hard.
This is the first time the driver played a huge role in a long, long time. Long time. You know, but it's a different philosophy from what we're used to, which is everyone's just kind of on the gas all the time, running the bottom. That's the shortest way around. But now technique was a huge deal to today.
Go next to Jacob, then to Dustin.
Jacob Seelman, Race Pace Digital. I've got one directed at both Denny and Chris, and then a follow-up for Denny. For both of you have already mentioned this harkens back to the late model background that both of you had. I mean, without giving away trade secrets, what kinds of things through the course of that race are you leaning on, relying on, pulling from your brain in order to make that successful at the end of the race?
Well, he did a great job of just updating me with every pit stop what was going on with the tires. You know, hey, this was this amount of run, many laps, this tire was corded, that tire was corded, and just letting me make adjustments from there. That's really what he did great, and it allowed me to do my job at a high level when you have that kind of information. And certainly he just kept making the car better as well. So it's not all driver. You have to have a car that is easy on the tires as well, and they just did a great job, you know, building me that today.
Yeah, it's just again, it's so far off the playbook from what anyone was expecting when the lift gates opened Saturday morning. No one. There's not a single driver, single crew chief, single engineer that planned on this. And you calibrate your entire world around a certain set of parameters for Bristol. And it was pretty clear right after practice, and again, pretty clear 80 laps into the race, that all that had to go out the window. And now it's instincts, because a lot of your prep work and tools and planning, for the most part, are invalid. Now, it's still a race car. You know, it's still got an engine and a driver and four black things on it for a while until they turn gray. But it's way different. So you got to go off instinct every part of the race. And, you know, that's everybody. That's the tire guy. That's the car chief. That's the mechanics helping. I mean, we went through so many tires, and every 40 laps, those guys are having to get data off the tires, get the information to me so I can get it to him, get the next set ready to go. Oh, Goodyear released another set. We got to go get it. We've got to match that set up. I mean, we don't just bolt them on the car. There's a lot that goes into what did we get? How's it going to match up with the tires that we had? When do we want to use those? When do you want to use your qualifying scuffs? I mean, it had it all, and that really makes it fun.
Denny, would you call a race like this kind of a chess match where you're almost having to, I don't want to compare it totally to a road course, but where you're kind of having to plan a couple moves ahead and know where you want to be at the end rather than just where you are in the moment?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was mainly it was when I was controlling the race and leading. I just had a certain pace, you know, looking at the dash. Here's the lap time. He would keep me updated that, hey, you're running a little quicker this time. So he did a good job of kind of reeling me back in. And it was a chess match. I mean, there was a time where me and the five were up front, and I was on the outside, and he was leading. And I could tell he was just really going slow. And I told the spotter, hey, we want to just run side by side, I'm good with that. Let's just block both lanes and back up the whole field, because it was a chess match. But you know, I didn't realize till later that, well, the line I was running was just killing my tires. So it was just, you learned on the fly and you just made adjustments. And each run we made, we just got a little better.
Go to Dustin, then the Bob.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Chris, to your right, you mentioned about we have to learn from this. When you said it earlier, are you talking about the sport or the team, and if so, what needs to be learned from the lessons from something like that?
In my opinion, the sport needs to learn from this. Again, I've been saying for a while from, you know, my little microphone when anyone asks, is that we got to stop talking badly about Goodyear in these situations. This is not bad. Goodyear can make a million-mile tire that I have on my car when I get to the airport and drive home. It's fantastic. I never have any trouble with it. This is supposed to be sport. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to force these guys to make decisions in the car. Do I go now? Do I not? The crew chiefs to make decisions on how they treat the tire with their setups. How long do you want to run this stint? Because you can't just run the fuel tank out and the tire not blow. It might blow on you. I mean, that last green flag stop when we called him in, I can't tell you how stressful it was. If NASCAR throws the caution when I'm on pit road, I'm in a lot of trouble. And he knows it. But he's telling me, hey, this tire is about to blow out. And finally, you look up and you're thinking strategy the whole time. I've ran this many green flag laps. There'll be this many to the end. Who's pit and who's not? And we look like a jalopy out there compared to cars with tires. So you're trying to manage all that. And I'm telling you, we took that set of tires off that right rear tire. Wasn't going to make it two more laps. And we'd have had a flat tire like so many others. But what I want everyone to understand is that's not bad.
Yeah, don't overreact.
It's not bad. It's okay. Quit beating Goodyear up over things like this. They're supposed to be a part of the sport and make it hard on us. And I think that's the narrative we got to start talking about.
I think when he talks about what to learn, certainly this is not – there's something that was different, whether it be the resin or the tire or something that was different from the last time we raced here, although it was not – supposed to be. I think the resin was supposed to be different. So whatever happened in the mixture department, maybe at Goodyear, that's something certainly that could be used. Maybe not to that extent, but it could be used. I mean, I think they have to figure out what in their process changed from this batch of tires versus last and just cut it back a little bit.
And that's very well said. What you don't want it to be is an accident. And I think Goodyear, everyone will tell you, no, we didn't expect this. So you want to learn from it in the sense that, how did we do this? and how can we monitor that and change it and make it something a little less extreme and then apply it to other racetracks? I mean, there's a lot to be learned in it.
Denny, for somebody who's won 52 races and you've won here before and you've won some big events in your career, but when you talk about having an impact in a way that you hadn't had in a long time, what does this win mean for you personally?
Way more proud. I know I had such a huge role in the result. You know, I can't, if the car was not good, I wasn't going to win, but I feel like I played a huge factor in the result. So it's really a proud one for me. Certainly one of the more proud ones I've had in my career. No question.
To Bob?
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. You know, Blaney compared it to Daytona, where you're working on fuel mileage. Other people were calling it S shows. I'm curious, like, if that tire had blown, as you were telling that it was about to blow, would you be bitter? Would you have a different feeling?
I would have said we should have pit sooner. I mean, the good news, I mean, I blew one all the way out earlier in the race, so I knew what the timetable was of, okay, when I feel this, I've got a couple more laps, and then this thing's not going to hold air anymore. So he did a really good job calling me in when I said, red flag, we're in big trouble here, like, because it happened so quick.
And the other thing everyone's got to understand is during that time frame, we're pitted right off of turn four. It's loud. And Lambert's driving him through traffic, and you know, we're talking with engineers and pit crew, and like, there is so many voices in my head in that instant that like, him telling me and me managing to actually even hear it, let alone process what he said, how he said it, how urgent is it, it is hard. So I, you know, listen, we had a great car, and Denny drove a great race, and you know, how would I feel if we run 10th or 15th? I can tell you one thing. I would have said, man, that was hard. And that's good. I don't want to hear. It's supposed to be hard.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be easy for all of us to manage and, you know, who air blocked the best. And I want it to be hard. And that was hard.
And for Denny, if maybe they could find a tire that maybe lasts just a little bit longer, then would that end the horsepower discussion?
Mm. Yeah, we didn't need any more horsepower today.
I watched plenty of throttle traces. He barely used all of it for a lot of the race.
Okay, it's an equation, horsepower to tire, right? And it's off-throttle time. When you have off-throttle time, if that's an opportunity for me to drive in deeper than the other guy and make a pass. When we are all matting it and we're all driving in all the way till we get to the corner and there's no off throttle time, there's just no passing. So today was seconds of fall off. It was incredible. I was watching the dash. I was telling you,
I was thinking about 100 laps into the race. When's the last time 18 second lap times have been run with a cup car in Bristol? And I really can't exactly pinpoint it except for that picture over there on the wall. I bet that was about the last time a cup car ran 18 seconds around Bristol, which is great. I mean, it provides so much opportunity for these guys to either make it work or screw it up, honestly.
They didn't enforce minimum speed, for sure.
No.
Before we move on, anybody have any additional questions for Coach Gibbs?
I've got one. Hey, Coach Steve Monday, Rowan County Weather and Media. Wanted to ask you, before the race, you mentioned that about some of your favorite memories here at Bristol. How would this one rank with the win here tonight?
It was definitely different, something I'll definitely remember. And, you know, one thing I want to emphasize, the other place where it was a real test was pit road. I was really concerned about that and the fact that you got that many stops and you got to make those guys had to really perform. And so appreciate that. It takes a total effort. I appreciate Toyota, all they do for us as a partner, and just the whole night was really a great team effort by everybody.
And then Denny, just a quick follow up for you. I know at one point during the race early on when tire wear became the big issue and we knew that was going to be the theme for the night, you and a handful of other drivers started to really kind of pace the race a little bit. And I know that at times you ended up having a lot of cars stack up behind you. How stressful did that become that you had to worry about folks kind of pushing you and hitting you from behind to take you out of the race?
Yeah, Ty was one of them. He was super aggressive wanting to go, and I really wasn't wanting to go. And so I probably should have just kind of let him go earlier, but I wanted to kind of control the air on the front of my car as long as I could. The negative to it is, you know, you get shuffled out to the outside line, you got everyone behind you, then you're going to wear your tires out by getting shuffled out. So it was a balance for sure, but I felt comfortable enough in feeling how much slip I had when I was getting into the corner to know how much am I really pushing this. So it was very interesting how strategic it was and how hard you wanted to run, because certainly if someone wanted to, they could have blasted from last to first, but they would have gone many laps down and blowing a tire. So it's just, you know, many times we would lose track position because of something on pit road getting blocked in, and like we just go right back to the front, and then I just kind of get back in line and just wait. And so it was fun in that aspect, but certainly a chess match.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Coach, your team's led 383 of the 500 laps today. You guys were running 1 through 4 for, you know, main part of the closing stages of the race. Ty led both stages, or won both stages, rather. Can you just talk to how you all planned for this race? I mean, clearly Denny, you know, class of the field, and he's won multiple times here before, but to be as dominant as an operation as y'all were today, it's significant.
Yeah, I think our sport is really, really hard. And when you sit in those technical meetings tomorrow and you hear the engineering group, the crew chiefs and everybody, and I think that's why the fans like it. It's your own pit road. That's going to be a major test. I don't know how many pit stops we have, but there were a bunch. The technical aspect of the car. And then right off the bat, when we started having tire trouble, I heard Chris go, okay, this tire's 45 laps or 48 laps. And so he started planning, okay, this is where it's going to go for the rest of the race. So it was totally different. But I think, you know, if you think about our sport, you go short track, we're going to go road racing next week. We've been to restrictor plate. There's a lot to it. And in order to be a wind up coming out at the end of the year, being a champion, it's a huge deal. And to win a race, just to win a race. Today, that thing for me, you know, at about 400 laps, I went, holy mackerel, this has been forever. With so many changes and everything. So anyway, I think it was a testament to today to how it takes a lot of things going together in our sport. Our sport is really hard.
Coach, thank you for joining us here. We'll cut you loose, and we'll continue on with the rest of the press conference. Additional questions for our race-winning driver and crew chief? Barring any additional questions, gentlemen, congratulations, and good luck next week at the Circuit of the Americas.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.